The Anton Savage Show
with Kearys.ie
on News Talk.
Dermot Gavin, he's going to be at the PTSB Ideal Home Show. It's taking place all weekend in the RDS Simmons Court. There's more than 200 exhibitors, three advice theatres, dozens of interior designers, home improvement experts, plus Dermot Gavin, as I mentioned earlier on. Now, we can talk more about that in a second. However, I want to pick up a conversation that we were having during the break, because during the break, I said to you, I planted strawberries recently and I didn't realise that the way a strawberry grows is the actual little flower thing becomes the strawberry. And you gave me that soft look that you give to small children and those with recent concussions. And you said, that's more or less how it works for all fruit. I'm stunned.
Yeah, it's the flower first and then the fruit comes after the flower. That's how it develops, which makes it a little bit dangerous at this time of the year because last night was cold. I saw Brian from Cork Rooftop Farm was posting about ice forming on things on his farm. So if the flower gets damaged at the moment, the fruit production will be affected and limited.
So you have a sense of what your yield is going to be by how many flowers you have.
Oh, yeah.
Again, there's that look. I didn't know this, Dermot. I am new to it.
No, nature is amazing. Nature is amazing. And it's why we have to plant as many pollinator species as possible. So we need the birds, the bees, the insects, the moths at night to do their job. Because once those flowers come out, they need to be, in many cases, many, many cases, they need to be cross-pollinated, and it's the insects and the bees and the butterflies that do all that work for us.
So and the moths?
Moths? At night.
They?
Yeah, they're amazing pollinators at night. And they especially come into play with our lawns, with our grass, because now we're beginning to cut our grass, we're cutting the pollen off. So before, because we like things being neat and tidy, so before the individual plant, the grass plant gets to flower, we chop it off. So we lessen the effect of pollination. We lessen the amount of pollen that's available, all that sort of thing. So we have to be careful. It's a fine balance.
The other thing then that I said to you during the break, which got that same look, was that I had discovered that, which I thought was amazing, that orange trees are not effectively naturally occurring. That if you want to make an orange tree, you take one's bottom and another's head and you stick them together as a Frankenstein. And you said, that's how all fruit trees work.
Well, now, orange trees are, before we got involved, there was fruit, there was oranges, there was the Garden of Eden.
It wasn't very good though, was it?
But in terms of gardening and farming, we have adapted all of these to grow many of these fruiting trees on dwarf rootstocks to ease production, let's say. And now I see it's gone mad.
You say this stuff like, you know, dwarf rootstock. Like, I know what all this means. This is amazing.
So the plant remains small, but produces a huge amount, a great quantity of fruit.
But without, to continue with my analogy, on somebody else's legs.
Yeah. But apples, pears, so it's a graft point. And you'll often see it if you look down the stem, the graft point. And it's great fun to do it yourself, to graft one plant onto another. And you can have multiple types of trees growing on one stem.
No.
Yeah.
You lie.
I don't. But what I've seen on Instagram recently is drones going to collect fruit with sucker things that come out, shake the tree a little bit, test the individual plants, and then pluck the fruit off. Very handy in Brexit because they got rid of all the people who in Britain, all the people who did that work that maybe people from Britain didn't want to do. But it's all about technology, and they send drones out to monitor the fields and see what's doing well, what isn't doing well. So technology is important, but nothing is as important as nature.
But you're telling me that I can have the foot of one tree and as it grows up on one side, it'll be coughing out pears and on another side, it'll cough out apples.
Absolutely.
Text saying, can you ask Dermot, how often should I change out the soil in my polytunnel?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, it depends on what you're growing in it, but a polytunnel is going to be a productive place, meaning it's either going to be growing cut flowers, maybe, or fruit or herbs or something like that. All of those are going to be heavy feeders, anything that's productive. So anything that's producing an apple, a pear, a strawberry, or any of the wonderful bright, we have this amazing industry of Irish-grown cut flowers. So I would say on a regular basis, but if you can't cut it out, mulch, top dress it all the time. Yeah, you know, when it comes to planting season or division season, with new materials such as Enrich, a green compost.
This is another one of those things that I've always been skeptical about fertilizer until I actually tried it on those strawberries. Oh, that's amazing when you see what it does. What's the point of a polytunnel?
It elongates the season. So let's say tomatoes. We love tomatoes. We love spuds, potatoes in this country. Spuds will grow outdoors. Mind you, they're not liking the wet and the cold this year. Tomatoes, our season isn't long enough. So it's either growing them in a greenhouse, a windowsill, or having that long season in a polytunnel. So it allows us to grow in this country. It allows us to elongate the heat of
but
the season.
Polytunnels are not insulated. There can't be that much of a heat difference, is there?
There's an amazing, difference. Yeah, absolutely amazing difference. And they're simple structures that are easy to put up, even in the most windblown parts of the country. They do incredibly well.
So the kind of frost that you were talking about over the last couple of days, they help offset
insulate
that.
From that. Yeah, yeah, they do. Yeah, and they just keep everything warmer. So they're wonderful structures. And again, I mentioned this guy, Brian McCarty, during COVID. So he had a cut flower business or something like that in Cork, in the middle of the city. During COVID, he looked at the roof because he wasn't doing anything. Flowers weren't selling. He had a vast amount of roof available in the city of Cork, and he put up polytunnels. And now he has this amazing business that's inspiring people all around the world because he's a dab hand at the Instagram and the social media. And he's shown people how to grow from limited spaces, from a roof in Cork, and now just a mile away, he has a market garden, and what he's doing is incredible. So he started with polytunnels.
How did you start?
I started by being a bit of a dreamer. Grew up in Rathfarnham in the suburbs of Dublin. I loved watching Top of the Pops. I love
this. Is like one of those legal shows. Where are you going with this?
actually, it's interesting where I am going with it. I'll show you in a sec. I loved all that. I loved creativity, but I also loved gardens. And I wanted to bring the two together. So much so that once I even ended up presenting.
You presented Top of the... I'm just looking at a video on your Instagram here on your iPad. That is you presenting Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
So as a gardener, how cool was that? That was with Fern Cotton back in the day. Yeah.
But hang on a minute. I can understand the desire to be creative. I don't get how that gets you into gardening. I can understand it. You could say, I'm going to become an accountant and I'm going to paint in the evenings.
We had this park very near us, which is Bushy Park in Rathfarnham. It was across the River Dodder. And I used to go over there. There was a woodland there. And in that woodland, there was a lake and there was bamboo growing by the side of the lake, because the Irish conditions for bamboo gardening conditions are just fantastic. So a bit of dappled shade, lots of water. Now the bamboo was taken, as it tends to, depending on the type of bamboo, it was taken over a little bit. But to me, this was Willy Wonka land. These amazing plants from China, from the Far East, would grow in an Irish situation. There was also a Gothic folly that people would go in and have light fires at night and drink cider and whatever. And the kind of scariness and the bad boys and all that really whetted my appetite for creating spaces, for working with nature. And then as I grew up, realizing in Ireland, it's one of the best places in the world, on the planet, the garden, because we've this temperate climate. We don't get the extremes. We get four distinct seasons and we can grow stuff that has originated around the world. So why wouldn't you be inspired?
I love the idea of the man who makes gardens at the Chelsea Flower Show was inspired by a flack and a scrumpy jack.
I often think, because, you know, you have these neighbourhood watch schemes and you have people who would be termed as standing out, sitting around park benches and drinking, whatever. They need space. We all need spaces. We all need, you know, places to go.
This raises a question. I was in the zoo recently and I was walking around, and as you go out to where they keep the elephants, they have a sort of a tunnel made out of bamboo. And I looked at it and I thought, they must do some kind of magic to make bamboo grow over here, because this can't be a good environment for bamboo.
It's perfect. Absolutely perfect. Now, it'll grow too fast, and there are some species of bamboo that you will only see in the Palm House in the Botanic Gardens because it's too tender. But bamboo loves to grow here. The secret to bamboo is, if you're growing it, especially in pots, containers or raised beds, from about mid-March, plenty of water. It loves water. Same as hydrangeas. None of these plants are native to Ireland. And we love colour in our garden because our weather can be a little bit grey. So the colour comes in from so many countries around the world. Have to be a little bit careful about that because the Victorians, plant hunters, sponsored so many people to go out to far-flung places, bring species, some of which is taken over. So we have Rhododendron ponticum, now only ponticum down in the National Park in Killarney, that's smothering out everything else. Looks brilliant at the moment, but nothing else can grow there. So it's strangling our native flora and fauna and whatever. So you have to be careful, but we have this magnificent climate for gardening.
Bamboo, it has to be said, is amazing stuff.
Oh, just
everything
unreal.
About it, like the speed of growth of it. Yeah. And it was one of the ones Thomas Edison had in the early days had a belief that bamboo could be used for filaments and electric lights and planted acres.
And now it's been used
stuff.
In clothing and shoes and all sorts of fabrics. But the, another amazing thing about bamboo, once a species of bamboo starts to flower, it dies. So we lived in London for 10 years. We had a small garden. I built a hedge around the front garden. And as soon as the hedge went in, about a year later, it all flowered. And that species was all flowering at the same time all around the world and would all die immediately.
Text saying, Anton, Dermot is my favourite Irish gardener. I can't believe he presented Top of the Pops. Text goes on. So I just Googled it there and I found it's true. It says he had presented on Top of the Pops and hung out with Primal Scream.
That was another occasion.
Did you have a good time? Did you get loaded?
We got kicked out of the BBC at 3 a.m. after the Hootenanny. They asked me to bring them to the Blue Peter Garden because they, let's say, wanted to rearrange it. And then the security guards arrives and finds us in the garden and he said, lads, who did this? And whatever. No, it was gentle rearranging. And we said, it wasn't that. He says, lads, I've been falling around the office laughing, watching you for the last half hour, staggering around. And that was, all the rock and rollers
you
were really cool with
you got thrown out of the Blue Peter Garden for rearranging of a Primal Scream.
By a security guard from Leitrim. I have all the photos. My cousin, who was a photographer, Neil Gavin, photographer for Q magazine, was with me that evening because I used to go to the Hootenanny every year. And it was brilliant.
When the security guard came to give out to you for rearranging the garden, did you do the, do you know who I am?
No. Well, look, I was beside Charlene from Texas and Primal Scream. I wasn't going to, but he would have said no.
I have to ask you about your hoodie. You are wearing a bright yellow hoodie with Dermot Gavin Outdoor Spaces written on it, sponsored by Dunn's beneath. What's the Outdoor Spaces?
Outdoor Spaces is my brand at the moment, primarily of houseplants that I do with Dunn's stores. This was designed by
Gary. It's a cool hoodie.
It's a cool hoodie, but the logo, Steve Simpson, who started working Danger Mouse, a Mancunian who lives now in Roscommon, brilliant, one of the best illustrators in the world, and I work with him on lots of stuff. So when I started,
he illustrated Danger Mouse.
He started working on the cartoon series. That's where he started his working life.
As in him and Penfold.
Yeah. Steve is amazing. Amazing. And we did a garden for the coronation for the King and Queen last year up outside Belfast.
As you do.
And Steve designed it and the King came over to say hello to him.
Did you mention to the King that you'd rearranged the Blue Peter Garden with Primal Scream?
I didn't.
Can you, by the way, you have a, because this goes to people, there's a whole lot of questions about what are the rules around and how can I get into gardening and all the rest of it. Are you starting a gardening school?
We're starting a garden school, myself and Paul Smith. So it's called, I think school's garden school. And we have loads of courses. Some are very simple, called How to Garden. So for people who don't know that a fruit comes from a flower.
Thanks
for bringing that back up. Aspect and I thought we'd pass all of that. Others are how to plant pots and containers. And you'll come along for 3 hours with us and we'll show you how to plant a pot and container, which people will want to do at this time of year. And then you take it home with you. We have how to design a garden, how to design a small garden. We have a course called Plants, Plants, Plants. They'll all be launched on my Instagram in the next week or so.
Well, if somebody, this texter would be a good person to subscribe, but it's asking, can you please ask Dermot how to remove and deter woolly aphids from my apple trees?
It's a little bug that lives in a kind of woolly sort of white woolly sort of housing that it creates for itself. I would be against. I'm against using any chemicals. Even the RHS are coming around to the idea that slugs aren't the worst things in the world. So I would say get a hose as early as you see them and wash them off. Well, just wash them away. Now, that's not practical if you're a fruit farmer. I realise that. But good culture, good feeding, good air circulation. And then, you know, you can get some sprays that are based on soaps that are kind to the plant, kind to the environment. But with the first thing, with indoor plants, with outdoor plants, try and wash them off first.
I believe you used to work in newsagents in Ranelagh in the 80s.
I did. I did for Joe Murray. It was absolutely brilliant.
Well, you'll be glad to know that one of your former colleagues, her son has texted to say, my mother's claim to fame is she used to work with Dermot in that news agency in Ranelagh.
We had such crack in that shop. Yeah, there was a sitcom that needed to be based in the opposite of the police station in Ranelagh. It was great.
Dermot, always the best crack. If you want to see Dermot, he is at the Ideal Home Show in the RDS, idealhome.ie. And if you want to find out details in relation to the new gardening school, whatever it may be called, you can follow him on Instagram.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiri's.ie
on News Talk.